Good evening. This is Mae Brussel. The title of this broadcast is World Watchers. It is program number 782, December the 1st, 1986. If you want bibliography sheets that accompany this broadcast on the air, you can write to me, P.O. Box 22511, Carmel, California, 93923. Mae, M-A-E, Brussel. And if you sent a self-addressed stamped envelope, I can give you information how to obtain back tapes or to subscribe to them through the mail, the future tapes, the current ones, or how to get back broadcasts. They're all available, and they're on tape cassette. So you can get the back broadcast that I refer to many times. Now, I've talked about the National Security Council for a long, long time. I've been pushing people, or hopefully trying to get people to understand how the National Security Council works. There are a lot of books on the CIA, hundreds of them. I think of Philip Agee's book, Inside the Company. John Stockwell goes around the country talking about the CIA and wrote a book on it. Daryl Garwood wrote on CIA deception. Ralph McGee wrote Deadly Deceits. There are lots of CIA books, but there's not enough on the National Security Council. And now that you hear the name on the television, in the news, evening news, whatever news, talk shows, and newspapers, maybe now that institution will be broken apart and examined more closely. The National Security, as I've told you, was formed in 1947. The CIA was formed in 1947. The difference was that the purpose of redoing the executive office or branch of the White House was to make it turn into a legal dictatorship whereby it could do matters that are being exposed now. Why Henry Kissinger was protected from the Cambodia bombings is never brought up, the illegal bombings, but that's not the point right now. The point is that it has been an active arm of the executive branch and the Committee of 440 decide who lives, who dies, what countries are overthrown. The CIA is important to do the work that the masters think about. They do the legwork, they do the assassinations, they do the drugging, the overthrowing of countries. That is their operation, again, separated from the knowledge of Congress, ordinary citizens. But ever since the John Kennedy assassination, the investigative reporters and private researchers have been oozing out secrets into thousands of books on the activities of the CIA and not enough on the National Security Agency. Well, before I get into the Iran gate or the Nicaragua gate, whatever you want to call it, I must say that the newspapers have a lot of articles going now. I call them putting salt in the wounds. But once Reagan starts falling, wait and see how fast the books come out. And I've mentioned this before, and these various trials get a better coverage considering the role that Ronald Reagan had in them. There's a new long article, three-part series in the San Jose Mercury out here, just began yesterday, on Paul Laxalt and his dealings with the mafia, and it goes into Laxalt and Ronald Reagan and the Howard Hughes connections, and it is definitely put there to stop any political ambitions that are in the mind of Paul Laxalt right now. There also is the continuous investigation of Jackie Presser, the Teamsters, and the links of Ronald Reagan to the mob and that group. And this Dan Azay article on Laxalt has a picture and description of trying to get Jimmy Hoffa off and that tangled web that does bring in Raymond Donovan, Secretary of Labor, whose trial is dragging along in New York City without much attention of the media. Lynn Nofziger, the president's closest friend and advisor, close to Richard Nixon and to Ronald Reagan, is involved in two major investigations, one in New York and one in California. Michael Deaver's material and influencing, peddling, using the White House and so forth is beyond, I think, or going with the grand jury. The John DeLorean trial is in limbo in Detroit. The Claus Barbie trial hasn't started. And they all have a lot of relationships to this administration and the scandals that have been continuing, particularly escalating in the past 6 years. The Wall Street Journal has a lot of articles just today as a sounding board of what's going on. U.S. arms sales worry and anger European officials, and it tells about their shock and disgust and mistrust with Ronald Reagan and the crisis at Rekovich. They still don't understand the Danilov importance to Rekovich, but they understand a lot about the flimsy person that they've been dealing with. Another story in the Wall Street Journal today, appointment of special prosecutor seen amid pressures of the Iran-Nicaragua issue. And in this article, and I'll go back to it later, it refers to in the autumn of 1985 that Michael Ledeen, an expert on terrorism, acting as a consultant to the National Security Council, negotiated a giveaway price for anti-tank missiles the Iranians wanted. Ledeen and an Iranian arms dealer, Manikur Gorbanifar, agreed on a price less than the cost of the missiles, and the army officials were angered and complained it's illegal to sell weapons for less than the cost. Ledeen was involved in that, and of course I've done many broadcasts on Ledeen, and I'll do more, but the Wall Street Journal doesn't mind now bringing out Mr. Ledeen and the buck passing in the administration and the backstabbing and how the administration is being decimated. This is the Wall Street Journal, and the incompetence of Edwin Meese, that they need a special prosecutor, and that's just a sample of some of the news. Anthony Lewis has a story today, the destruction of a president. Some of the details I can go into later, but you get the tone. Another Wall Street Journal article today, the disclosure of Iran-Contra operations cripples Reagan's activist diplomacy. For 6 years, he pursued an activist, often covert former foreign diplomacy. And this goes into his activities and that now he is suffering what they refer as self-inflicted wounds. The Middle East diplomacy is in shambles. The Arabs and the moderates are outraged. There's an angry cry in Congress. This fiasco is going to ruin him. He has bypassed Congress and people that he could have worked with. It will influence what goes on in Angola. And the perception of Ronald Reagan taken from the staunch Wall Street Journal is they're not bashful to tell you the story. Another story by Jeff Gerth that I want to detail for you later, Saudi rule in Contra-Iran deals looking larger. Jeff Gerth is that expert on Richard Nixon and the Mafia and William Rogers, a member of the Kissinger Associates. He is writing articles for the New York Times on this and Bob Woodward of the Washington Post and all the good writers, Pete Carey from the San Jose Mercury. The Pulitzer Prizes are out there again, and Contragate is going to flow. In the Jeff Gerth story, he goes into the involvement of the Contras with Major General Richard Secord. He set up the Saudi Arabian connections and the relationship of Albert Hakim from Stanford Technology with the Saudi Arabians. Hakim was the fellow that was identified as part of Stanford Technology that worked with Frank Turple and Edwin Wilson, and you get into another ball of wax when they begin working for Adnan Khashoggi, and the Saudi Arabian covers for our espionage activities such as Khashoggi with Lockheed and Northrop and so forth. The very good writers with a lot of guidance are following this up, and there is plenty of material for you to read. If you just go to the library and read the New York Times and Washington Post every day, you'll get an eyeful. And along with that, the Richard Nixon tapes have just been declassified. And somebody said on television this weekend that the only thing Reagan learned from Watergate is how to burn the tapes. So to add a little more embarrassment, there are a lot of papers out about Watergate just simultaneously with these activities happening. And I don't think that's a coincidence either. Last week, I started the program before I got into Contragate on the neutron bomb, and I have to mention that simultaneously because it will get lost in all the stories if we don't pay attention to what is happening. Now, the common denominators between the neutron bomb are William Casey, who used the media as his CIA director to push the selling of neutron bomb in Europe, the CIA, Alexander Haig, a secretary of state who was pushing the neutron bomb, John Singlaub, who was angry and was fired by Jimmy Carter from his position in military in South Korea because he wanted the neutron bomb. So the current people involved with Iran and with Nicaragua are also involved with a neutron bomb. And last week I updated the case for you. This week I understand that Mr. Mordecai Vanunu may be getting the death penalty, and they're talking about either locking him up for 30 years with no chance of parole. That's the gentleman that told the London Times about not only Israeli's nuclear bomb capability, but the neutron bomb. And France came out with an article this week in the Washington Times, which is a good sounding board for a lot of material. This is Arnaud de Borchgrave and Reverend Moon's paper. And the article says France has confirmed it has perfected its own neutron bomb. It will have enhanced radiation as a weapon, and it is ready to go. They're ready to start mass production, which means they have some. And, of course, I again go back to the belief that Israel, with Shimon Peres, and the United States Defense Department tested a neutron bomb in Cameroon, or sent a message the end of August this year, and this has been covered up, the relationship of these officials I've mentioned with the neutron bomb. A listener to World Watchers sent me an article from the Northern California Jewish Bulletin, which I appreciate, and it's called All Seems to Be Legal in the Vanunu Case. The article is written by Mr. Edwin Black. He's the author of a book, The Transfer Agreement, The Untold Story of the Secret Pact Between the Third Reich and Jewish Palestine. Now he's talking about the Fourth Reich and Israel. I wonder if Mr. Black is able to see the comparisons going on now. The gist of this article, and I won't go into much of it with you, the details I can do later, is that under Israeli law, you can bring anybody home you want. There's no extradition matter about it. You can kidnap them and bring them. You don't have to have a attorney of record. And what the article says, it's posted from Jerusalem, said, if nothing else, the case of Mordecai Vanunu has shown the world and any would-be Israeli turncoats that it is legally possible to disappear without a trace in the Jewish state. Now, the reason I bring this up is that when America was making the atomic bombs, when we made the Agent Orange, when we did a lot of bad things in different countries, so many people sat back and were indifferent to what was happening. And this is a chance for you, if you hear World Watchers, to write to members of Congress, members of the Senate and House, wait till the new ones are sworn in January, and tell them about what you've heard in May Brussels and the tapes and how you want an investigation into the Cameroon gas and the possible links between Israel and the United States Defense Department in trying that weapon. Now, in a description of the court case in Israel of Mr. Vanunu, it sounds identical to Nazi Germany. And I just have to quote again, and it is very important, a play written by George Steiner called The Portage to San Cristobal of Adolf Hitler. It's on the trial of Adolf Hitler. And I've had it before on World Watchers, and I just want to mention it again, that Hitler, defending himself before five Israelis after he's captured in Brazil, said it was the Holocaust that gave you the courage of injustice, that made you drive the Arab out of his home, out of his field, because he was lice-eaten and without resources, because he was in your divinely ordered way. That made you endure knowing that those whom you had driven out were rotting in refugee camps not 10 miles away, buried alive in despair and lunatic dreams of vengeance. And this is pertinent to the Middle East and some solution that has to come out of all this Middle East business. Playing the role of Hitler, the author Steiner said the Holocaust was the necessary mystery before Israel could come into its strength. It is not I who have said it, but your own visionaries, your unravelers of God's meeting. Should you not honor me who have made you into men of war, who have made of the long, vacuous daydream of Zion a reality? Should you not be a comfort in my old age? Look, he said, I took my doctrines from you. I fought the blackmail of the ideal world that kept me from acting, which you hounded me and mankind with. My crimes were matched and surpassed by those of others. The Reich begat Israel. And it's a very powerful play, and I bring it up now because of the problems of the Middle East and the quiet attitude of sequestering Mr. Vanunu, possibly hanging him in Israel and burying the fact of what we have to live with now as France and other nations, in addition to American Israel, multiply the neutron bomb. Now, August the 18th, three or four months ago, on program number 767, I mentioned the Christic Institute. And on that broadcast, I didn't do enough that week, and I'm going to be doing more for many, many weeks. there's a group called La Pensa Project that I said could lead to the impeachment of Ronald Reagan. And I had that on the air with you, as I say, this past August. This is December the 1st. I said officials for criminal activity such as Theodore Shackley, John Singlaub, Thomas Kleins, and Albert Hakim. And Hakim, again, is cited in the Jack Anderson articles, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal today, and many others are involved. This is a lawsuit that was filed by the Christic Institute May 29, 1986. May 29th is the birthday of John Kennedy and Mae Brussels. And it's interesting, I love the synchronicity, that May 29th is the date they filed it on our birthday. And I said, as of August 86, Reagan would be out of office because of the lawsuit. And now with the links of the money going to the Contras that ties to Iran, you can begin to see the story unfold. And gratefully, those long listeners to World Watchers who have subscribed to the tapes and listened on the air, they are appreciating this story more than anyone can imagine, seeing it unfold. Now, the Christic Institute filed the suit May 29th, but it became into more prominence when Mr. Hassenfuss landed in a field in Nicaragua. The plane's log that was with Mr. Hassenfuss that survived, named Colonel North, or Hassenfuss named Colonel North in the National Security Council. He also mentioned two Cuban Americans. One was Max Gomez, and one was Raymond Medina. As I told you, Gomez, alias Felix Rodriguez, worked with Klaus Barbie and the CIA in killing Che Guevara. We haven't even had time to go into that very much at all. And the other, Medina, was Mr. Cirilli's, who, when George Bush was CIA director, was working with the CIA and blew up Air Cuba, and they were also part of the assassination of Orlando Letelier and Ronnie Moffitt. So the Christic suit was filed May 29th, and it was in October, 4 months later, May, June, July, August, September, 4 months later, that the plane landed in Nicaragua with Mr. Hassenfuss, that put these people right into the laps of the lawsuit that is being filed. Now, I'll give you the address again. I had it on the broadcast in August, but there's new listeners. I want you to write to this address at Christic Institute and ask them for literature. Send them money, $5 or $10, anything you have. Skip a Christmas present for somebody else and say, I'm giving it to them, and $25 they could use. They have it up to 250 or more. Write to Daniel Sheehan, Sheehan, Christic Institute, 1324 North Capitol Street, Washington, D.C., 20002. Now, they filed this suit, as I say, May 29th, under the name of Tony Avergan. He's one of the people bringing the suit on, and Martha Honey. And it has to do with the Central Intelligence Agency using anti-Castro Cubans and the top leaders of our intelligence community to attempt to murder the American ambassador to Costa Rica and blame Nicaragua for it. Remember, Mr. Poindexter and Mr. North were the great artists of Admiral Poindexter, North, the artists of the Libya bombings and the Libya lies, the justification for disinformation, the Grenada invasion that began excluding the press at the invasion and warfare scene for the first time in American history for hundreds of years, I suppose, going back with no witnesses, and making up, probably arranging the disco bombing in Germany through agent provocateurs to blame Libya. These are the masters, Poindexter and North, of the activities that would include killing the ambassador to Costa Rica to blame Nicaragua. They were involved with the mining of the harbor and so forth. Now, some of the people in the suit are Adolf Calero, who works in Miami and is head of the Contra Group. You've seen him on television this past week. Arino Carvo, Thomas Kleins, one of the very biggies of the intelligence community. And what is important about this suit is that it is naming the main legwork people that go way, way back to the murder of John Kennedy and the Vietnam War and, in fact, the South Korean War in 1950, that just warmed their feet a little, then Southeast Asia, and the assassination attempts on Castro, the Bay of Pigs operation. There is Thomas Kleins, who is very, very important. Mr. Secord, that I mentioned his name, we'll be mentioning more with his work with Mr. North, Lieutenant Colonel North. There's John Singlaub, the notorious agent provocateur, the daddy of the desire to have the neutron bomb behind that. Theodore Shackley. There's Singlaub, Shackley, Secord. There is Albert Hakim, who worked at Stanford Technology with Frank Turple and Edwin Wilson, and who is now coming out in the news with his work with Mr. Khashoggi and going into Iran with Colonel North, all of them working with Mike Ledeen from the Center Strategic, the Georgetown Center of Strategic Studies, International Studies, the think tank for disinformation and for advising the National Security Council and the White House. Thomas Kleins, all of these are biggies. Tom Posey is one of the defendants in this suit. He works with Franklin Camper and helped round up some illegal aliens along the border recently, and he's active in organizations in all Central America to put Central America back into the hands of people like Somoza and Roberta Dobison. So just given those few names, and there are more Anticastro-Cubans, this suit is now getting a lot of prominence, and I'll share more with you. In the weeks to come, the San Francisco Examiner had a two-part series on this particular operation. May the 9th, when the suit was filed, the San Francisco Examiner had one long article by David Johnston and Newt Royce, and then this week they had a two-part series, and it's titled Group Predicted Contragate. And they were saying this in May, and in August I said, following from what I read about what they have, that Reagan would be out of office. In May, they described a planted bombs. Three people were killed, journalists, and about 17 were almost killed. And the important thing is that in May, when this story broke in the San Francisco Examiner about the lawsuit, May 29th, it said the journalists alleged that some of the weapons for the Contras were bought from Miami-based arms dealers named as defendants in the suit. Several of these have been previously linked with CIA as agents or contract operatives involved in arms sales in the Middle East. And you get Hakim and the whole outfit, Hakim and Secord. And we're now getting a blending of the Iran section, the Nicaragua section, brilliantly filed in May, naming these people as defendants. You can imagine how frantic the White House is about this operation now. This was the plot to kill Eden Pastora. This is part of it. When he said that the CIA was taking over the whole Contra deal, it was the Somozans and the CIA. And, of course, a defendant in this is Aldolfo, I mentioned Calero. Also, Robert Owen, a United States consultant who raised $27 million. Owen's name is on the flight logs of Hassenfuss and Cooper and Sawyer. So this suit is going to be represented by Daniel Sheehan. He's the person representing it. And he came through to understand these problems when he was helping persons that were housing Sandinistas or El Salvadorians in the Southwest. And he came upon these activities and latched upon a Mr. Hull, who has a ranch in Costa Rica. And it's his ranch where the cocaine deals took place, bringing approximately $10,000 to $25,000 a flight into the United States. And they came into San Francisco. And all of this was mentioned in the suit in May. They went also into Louisiana and into Miami. Approximately $450 million a week of narcotics coming into the United States from these people. So you get a little overview of where this case is going in Washington, D.C., because Senator Kerry is carrying this and wants it opened, and now having the suit filed in May and naming these people, and with the news coming out about Iran and the Middle East money and the Contras, it's the very same people. As I say, the San Francisco Examiner had two long articles this week. One was titled Group Predicted Contragate, and it tells about the suit of the Christic Institute, how Mr. Sheehan spent the last 2 years investigating the links between the Contras their private arms, the network, and so forth. And Capitol Hill was slow to understand the relationship of the Watergate scandal to what they call ContraGate now. And this is something you're going to hear a lot about because it has to do with narcotics traffic. And this is something that George Bush was in charge of. He was in charge of, mentioned by Ronald Reagan, for the big campaign in Miami of narcotics trafficking. Remember a broadcast I did when he was the first appointed on that, and on the evening news, he broke the name of certain people, so they got off and fled, and he opened up that gate and let them out instead of rounding them up. That was George Bush. Well, he's working with these very people, and the connections of Bush and Edwin Meese and Robert McFarlane and Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North and so forth are well established now with the Contra Arms conspiracy, the breaking of the law, and the decisions to use the national security and bypass it. That's Ronald Reagan's favorite activist thing, to bring in his darling Reagan Revolution. So this suit is very exciting. Senator John Kerry, K-E-R-R-Y, Democrat from Massachusetts, he has asked again now with this new story for his office to open up evidence linking the arms pipeline that's from Iran, set up by Colonel North, to the cocaine and arms smuggling operation tied to the Contras, so that the cocaine links are going to get out in the open. Another article from the Liberty Lobby, it was the San Jose Mercury, by Pete Carey. This was written July 18th, 1986. Pete won the Pulitzer Prize up at the San Jose Mercury for his story with several other writers this past year about the money washing of Marcos, Imelda and Ferdinand Marcos, in New York City, New Jersey, and so forth, how their money came to this country and the property they bought. And he got recognized very nicely for putting that together. And this past July, after the suit was filed, he wrote about Albert Hakim, the Iranian who worked with Stanford Technology in the Bay Area, and Hakim's relationship to the CIA and the Defense Department. And now that story is very much pertinent, because even though it was written July 18th, Jack Anderson and the powers that be are now writing about Hakim. And once you lead him there to being a defendant in this lawsuit that was filed, and working with these names I've mentioned, like Theodore Shackley and Mr. Secord and so forth, and Frank Turple and Edwin Wilson, you get into a ball of wax that is going to be impossible for this Congress to cover up. I mean, I've seen a lot of cover-ups, but I don't think they can do this very easily. So, as I say, there is a lot of encouragement. A two-part story in the San Francisco Examiner. If you don't take that, many people can't get it. I'll make copies of those. If you send a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll send you copies of the current articles about the lawsuit, because I know it's impossible to get it in the newspapers that you have. The Washington Times had a story May 30th, 1986. Journalists sue in a plot against the Sandinistas, and that's a long article on the relationship of Tom Posey, head of the Civilian Military Assistance Group, Richard Secord, Thomas Kleins, Theodore Shackley, and it's quite a long article. And Mr. Hall, whose location or ranch at Costa Rica is allegedly where the large amount of narcotics came from, that was in the Washington Times. There was a lawsuit by Mr. Hall to throw out his name in regards to the charges against him, and he tried to get this through, but that was turned down in Costa Rica. One of the witnesses in this trial was Peter Glibbery, a British expatriate who's free on bail. He was in jail for illegal weapons, and Glibbery testified that he was recruited by a mercenary from Alabama named Tom Posey, who set up a rebel training base on Mr. Hall's ranch. And while there, he testified in court in May 1986 that Hall told him he had a friend in the National Security Council who sent him $10,000 a month for the FDN, these are the Contras, fighting. And when the allegations came of the links of Hall to national security and so forth, as I say, he had a suit to get his name out of it. He's a rancher in Costa Rica on the Nicaraguan border, and it was turned down. And this has to do with the illegal arms and cocaine shipments going back to the United States, pouring into the United States. And so there were articles about cocaine and Theodore Shackley and Secord and so forth before this all came down. So now it is more visible. The suit is moving along, and it should get off the ground with a big promotion and more funding now because of the attention of the links to the current scandals that the White House hopes to cover up. We'll take a one-minute break and then just finish up on the Christic file. I'll be updating it for a long, long time. And then I'll come back, as I say, at the end of a minute and continue that and some more very important news.